Now, are you ready? I got a word for you. This is the word of the week. Here it is, pericope. Pericope. If you type this into your computer, it will automatically change it to periscope. But it's not a periscope, it is a pericope. For the record, a pericope is a noun, a person, place, or thing. So who of you bright people knows what a pericope is? This is my chance to show off. See, when you are in seminary, you go around all the time saying to each other, have you read the pericope? Do you know the pericope for today? What pericope are we discussing in our Hebrew class this morning? But you all don't know that because you go there. A pericope is a set of verses which form a coherent unit. Got that? A set of verses. It's up there, right? A set of verses which form a coherent unit, usually taken from the Bible and divided for easy public reading. See, like a billion years ago, the great and august fathers of the church who know about all such things sat somewhere in a little old dusty room in the back of a library and divided the Bible up into little pieces because you people are so dumb. You can't read it unless it is divided up for you and you know where to begin and where to stop each day. Now, today's pericope at Cornerstone is Luke 9, verses 10 to 11. It is the pericope which Chuck just read to you. You want to say the word? It's fun to say the word. Okay? The pericope for today, the division of the verses, was chosen from the lectionary. Usually, the passages are dealt with topically and are not seen as being connected to that which precedes it or which follows it. Okay, you get that now? In other words, the Bible is usually treated as if it was a collection of units which are unconnected with each other but only coherent in and of themselves. The Bible is not seen as one cohesive book. Okay, you get that? You with me? Anybody got trouble? What the scholars are saying is that it's just a bunch of pieces, like a puzzle in a box. Okay? It's not assembled or connected. It's just puzzle pieces in a box. And that's how you should treat it. However, being fully enlightened, you aren't playing with me at all, are you? Come on, Nick. I have come to understand that the Bible was put together by the Holy Spirit of God. Think of it. And the Holy Spirit of God knew what he was doing when he put the Bible together. So he assembled it in the order in which we have it because it was intended to be read in a connected fashion in the order in which it is given. I actually have, in my study, I have Rudolf Bultmann's commentary on the Gospel of John. I begged Lois to buy me that book when I was in seminary because all true scholars have Bultmann's commentary on the Gospel of John. The problem with the commentary, it cost a fortune. The problem with the commentary is that you can't just use it by finding the passage of Scripture because Bultmann went through and reorganized the pieces. He said that if you put the unconnected pieces together in the appropriate order, you got a picture. And he had discovered the order. Do you know how arrogant that is? Okay, Bultmann put himself in the place of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's why here at Cornerstone, we read the thing as if, the Bible, as if it was a cohesive unit and not a collection of independent stories or parts. Okay? That's why you can't miss a week. It all connects. Okay? Now, that's evident in the passage of Scripture which Chuck set before you this morning. Technically, the official pericope breaks at verses 9 and 10 in Luke chapter 9. Now, last week we discussed Luke 9, 1 to 9. And I explained to you how it tells us about how Jesus was preparing the 12 disciples to go out and preach the good news. He prepared them and he sent them out. He did it on their own to do just what he told them to do. But today's pericope, verses 10 through 17, opens with the words, "The apostles returned." Now, come on. Where were they? From what did they return? If you don't connect the story in this week's pericope with the one from last, you're like lost. You have no idea what's going on because the Holy Spirit intended for them to be connected. They returned from going out to preach the good news as Jesus had told them to do. And when they came back, when they returned from preaching the good news, they came back to Jesus, intending to share with Jesus what had happened to them as they were out. And that sharing is the completion of the training process. Do you remember this? You're like lost in this. Do you remember there's a point to it. Do you remember the slide from last week's sermon? Put it up there. Jesus training method, show it. Okay? It's not complete. The final step is missing. Mm-hmm. The final step in the training process was for Jesus and is for us evaluation. And you know where you find that? In this week's pericope. Because the two things are not independent and they are corrected. And quite honestly, the break is wrong. It's just wrong. They came back and they talked over their experiences with the master. In fact, it says clearly that he took them on retreat. They went off alone. Their intention was to sit down and go over in detail what had happened, what had worked and what had not worked, to look at how they had done what they had, to figure out how they could do it better. They were to learn from the experiences they had, and he wanted to reward them for doing what they did well, well. There are a couple things here. There's some lessons. You ready? Three things, in fact. First lesson from today's sermon is this. The Bible is one book put together by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Write that on your foreheads. It was intended to be read as one book, not a collection of independent pieces or pericopes. Get ready now. I'm going to warn you. Do not trust the traditional division of the scripture. You know how your Bible has all those little headings in it? They were not there originally. They are not part of the work of the Holy Spirit. They are the work of men. Okay? Do not trust the traditional division. And do not trust the church's traditional approach to the handling of scripture. It is not to be taken as independent pieces. It is to be taken as a whole, one piece building upon another. You with me? Okay? Number two, the process of training must include evaluation. Mm-hmm. If you trusted the traditional division of Scripture, the way reading is divided for public, or Bible is divided for public reading, you would never learn that you cannot complete the training process unless you sit down with your disciples and evaluate. You would conclude that Jesus' model for training was defective. But it ain't. Now, I've got to tell you something. You're raising kids, you better be having that evaluation part every now and then. Mm-hmm. You better be sitting down with them and telling them what they did wrong, but more importantly, telling them what they did right and encouraging them to do what they did right again and to forget what they did wrong so that they can learn to be the children and the people, the adults that God is calling them to be. Half the time, kids suffer because they don't get the proper kind of evaluation from their parents. You hear me? Those of you got little kids? Okay, it ain't all telling them what they did wrong and screaming at them. It's both negative and positive, and they learn more from the positive. Got it? Got it? Add it in. You got employees that you're working with, and you don't ever sit down and tell them how well they did something. When they did it well, think again. They need to hear that from you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it? And point number three, we know from putting the stories together that the 12 didn't get it. That's the point of the following passage. You remember last week that what Jesus told them? They were to take nothing with them, no staff, no money, no food, nothing. They were to be completely dependent upon God. The fact is that they were to focus all of their attention on God, and they were to forget their own limited resources because their limited resources would limit their ability to do ministry. Remember that? They were to trust God's supply, that He would give them everything they need in order to minister. They were to lean entirely on Him. You remember that I told you even today, the thing which most greatly limits ministry is the phrase, we can't afford it. Mm-hmm. It was a hard lesson for the 12 to learn, just as it is a hard lesson for us to learn today. So there they are. They go off on their retreat, and it is invaded. People come. More than 5,000 of them. It is no longer a private time with Jesus. There's all these people there. 5,000 hungry people. And they were in a remote place. There was no place to buy food. The day was coming to a close. McDonald's was closed. There, hear me. There was no way they could meet the needs of these people. No way. Their resources were too limited. So what do? They say, oh, God will provide. They come to Jesus and they suggest to Him that He send the people away so the people can take care of themselves because there is no way they can do it. Their solution to the problem was to get rid of the bothersome people. Do you ever notice how people can really be annoying? Can you imagine 5,000 of them all wanting dinner and you don't have anything? But good old Jesus, I think He set it all up. Good old Jesus pushes right to the point. Oh, no, He says. We're not going to send them away. You feed them. They were right. They couldn't do it. Their resources were insufficient to the task that Jesus had given them. On their own, they could not feed that crowd. No way. But guess who can? God can. And they're the ones who had been instructed to be entirely dependent upon God. You see it now, don't you? You see how the story flows. Take nothing with you. Trust God. He'll give you everything you need. We can't feed them all. My. And Jesus is determined to drive the lesson home. So they searched. They looked. They found 5 hamburger buns and 2 fish patties. place. There was no money. There was no way that they could feed 5,000 hungry people. But good old Jesus took the loaves and the fish. He blessed them. He broke them. He gave them to the disciples and had them distribute them to those present. Everybody ate and was, the word full here means up to the top. No room left, like Thanksgiving supper. And then the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of leftovers. They started with 5 buns and 2 fish. They end up with 12 baskets full of leftovers. It's really cool because one of them got one. A basket full of leftovers. Each one got one. They ended up with more than they had when they started. God supplied. Just as Jesus said he would, God supplied. He didn't just supply. God gave them back more than they had when they started. Don't you wonder? Did they go, oh, 'cause they got it? Do you?